This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on in to Dana and Parks on this Monday. Oh my God.
What's going on?
It's just Monday. It's okay.
Is it a Monday?
Yeah.
Like a Monday-ish Monday?
I had like 46 appointments before I got in here today. Have you ever had that? Like, and I suppose it's good. Get all your crap out of the way on Monday so you're done. Because Monday's kind of anyway.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous day out. Everybody's fine. We're all going to get through this. I went and got my mammogram. Ladies, get that done. I was in and out in 15 minutes.
You have had like 75 appointments in the last 3 weeks. Are you taking care of everything?
It just accidentally happened where everything is toward the beginning of the year for whatever reason. So, yeah, I've gotten all of my appointments out of the way, but I go to the one where they read it right there. So there is
you
no
want to know immediately.
Yeah, we'll call you in 2 weeks if you have a lump in your breast. Like, you wait. I go to Element. There's a bunch of places around town that do it. You go in that room, and then they say, just sit tight. We'll be right out. And then there's a radiologist that reads it right then and there. They come out. I actually, one of my friends works there, and he came out, and we're talking and talking about other things. And he goes, oh, and by the way, you're negative. You're fine. You're good to go for another year. I said, oh, that's good. That's why I came in here. Yeah. I started talking about other things. But get all of those things done.
Is it awkward for you? I've heard for some women it's an awkward process.
No, not at all. No. My mammographer has always been female.
Okay.
And
I'm sure that helps.
You know, that's all they do all day long is the smash. And it doesn't hurt. It really does not take long. I would urge everyone to please get that done. I think it's, what, 1 in 4 women ends up at some point with a breast cancer?
Last week you were filling out all of the paperwork for another test.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a date set for that?
We do not. They called me today, but this is actually a topic for us today, and let me tell you why.
Another test?
This is my first, you know, a friend of mine is actually a colorectal surgeon, and my doctor said this year, you know, this is the year you kind of got to do the deal. I'm like, all right. So filled out the paperwork, did all that stuff. The topic that I want to present to our listeners this hour is funny. It's actually really funny, but it's also something I think anyone who has moved or moved into a new space will appreciate the story that I'm about to tell. So I asked Sam this in the newsroom. He does not know what this is about, but I asked him in the newsroom, when you move, what is the appropriate amount of time for you to get all of your address information changed over?
A week.
Oh, Dan. Think about all of the transactions we do with all of the different people. So, yes, your bank, you want to update that. You want to update your payroll, all of those things out of the gate when you move. But there are going to be things within the body of 6 months or a year. You know, you update Amazon because you've got stuff coming to your new space. There are going to be things within the body of a year that you forget because it's not something you do all the time, like a mammogram.
Well, and not necessarily how long does it take or what's the window on the acceptability for changing those addresses over. How long do old addresses get mail from the previous homeowners? And
Big
my
out.
Answer to you was years.
Years.
Yeah.
So that's sort of my question. I'm going to tell you why in a little bit. If you move into an apartment or a house that is new to you, and you are still getting mail from the prior owner, even after the 3-month USPS window where they give you that grace period and they put the yellow stickers on it and they forward your mail, do you shred it? You can't open it. That's against the law. Do you forward it? Do you return to sender it? And then how long have you guys been dealing with that if you've moved into a new space?
You leave a note for the postal delivery person.
And say anything that comes here for Dan Weinbaum. Dan moved 1 year ago, still doesn't have everything changed over, you know, so keep Dan Weinbaum's mail wherever it ends up, right? And the reason I ask is because it was W-2 season not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And if you have moved, boy, that's one you want to take care of.
Oh, absolutely.
Getting tax stuff. But Sam, I had a couple of W-2s that I hadn't even thought about. Like I did one job or a speaking engagement. They would have had my old address. You just can't remember every single thing. That's when you said a week, Dan. There's no way. So anyway, I'm sitting on my couch over the weekend, and I get a text from the owner of my prior home where I lived for 22 years. And I'm going to read it to you. He says, "Hey, Dana. This is so-and-so. Hope you're doing well. I got a package in your name that looks important."
Okay.
That's all it says.
Yeah.
A package.
And I write back, "That's crazy. It's good to hear from you. How's the house coming? I can send my daughter over to grab it." He writes back, "Everything's going great with the house. UPS delivered this."
Oh.
Yeah, right? So I'm like, over the weekend, I'm like,
was this a Christmas
gift?
There's
literally no way. I haven't ordered anything that would be coming UPS. So this is one of those things that, you know, I've been moved out now a year. One of those things I've forgotten. And so I'm tossing and turning Saturday into Sunday. And I'm like, what in God's name would be coming from UPS to that old address that looks important, right? I don't know. And then it occurred to me.
Was there a smiley face on the box?
Sam.
It's a box.
Oh, it's a box.
Was it a box that you're supposed to
Sam?
Take care of some business in, if you know what I'm saying?
I swear to you guys, I start laughing and I sit up in bed and I go, oh my God, I think I know what the UPS thing is. About 2 weeks ago, I got an email from Coligard and it said, "Hey, your happy little box is on the way." And I didn't reply. I'm like, I didn't order your happy little box. My doctor did not order your happy little box. Maybe they know it's been 5 years. I don't know.
It's recurring.
So I don't reply. Then I get another thing. "We're sending your box." I'm like, I don't, for a variety of reasons we've discussed without getting into it, I am never doing that again. I start laughing and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think the Coligard box went to my old address. So sure enough, the next morning, I reach back out and I go, "Hey, TMI here, but in the middle of the night, it occurs to me what I think this is. And if I am right, I am on the floor laughing. I got an email last week from Coligard. FYI, I did not order that. My doctor did not order that. But holy hell, I'm going to tell that story on the air. If that's what it is so funny." Then I add, "By the way, I am going in for an actual colonoscopy." I know that's TMI, but I did not order the box.
Which, by the way, they already knew what was in the box just by the smiley face on the outside.
Okay, he replies, "Haha, okay, admittedly, I looked up the company. I didn't know what it was and thought this is a private matter. I need to get hold of Dana." You guys, I am telling you, I laughed so hard. So my daughter goes and gets it, I still don't know what to do with it. What do I am not doing that thing.
Well,
I'm not
first
doing
of all,
it.
I would send them an email and let them know that you are not participating in that specific style
in
of
any way
testing again. And then I would discard of the box.
And make sure that you're not paying for it.
Well, that's the thing. I got so busy over the weekend. I need to email them and say, "Hey, this came to the wrong door, number one. Number two, like...
Number two, really?
If someone needs a Coligard, I'd be happy to give it to them, but I think the barcode is
specific to me.
Right.
Sample.
Yeah, you can't walk around work and say, "Hey,
anybody want this box? Who wants my happy little box?" Anyway, I'm curious if you have moved or you are the person that is on the receiving end of all of that mail. Do you just toss it? I think some people just toss it in the trash. So is it illegal to do that if it is specifically like a credit card offer or junk? Is it okay just to throw it in the trash? Because I have done that. I'm not going to lie.
From what I understand, I do believe it is illegal to either shred or discard of somebody else's mail. I think what you're supposed to do is return to sender. But, I mean, I've lived in apartments where we got mail from, like, four different people.
Right.
Because nobody ever changed their mailing address. And what am I supposed to do with that? I have piles of mail. And you want me to return to sender all of that?
No, no. And I don't think most people do that.
Yeah. Anyway. I think you put it back in the mailbox with a note.
Not me.
To let the, especially if you're in an apartment building and you're dealing with so many, the postal delivery person is just dealing with so many names. I think you put it back in the box with a note that says these names don't live here anymore.
Mm-hmm. 913-586-7798. If you are the person on the receiving end of that thing, and I'm curious if you've ever gotten anything really funny, you know, I don't know that you can top the Coligard box, but here we are.
Well, at least it hadn't been used.
7798. Oh my God. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Yay, yay, yay. So with my apologies to the postman, there have been a couple of things over the past year that I forgot to change with respect to my address.
It happens. There's a lot of things to remember. People on the text line chiming in. 15 years I have lived in my home, still getting mail. 21 years still getting mail from the previous owner. 21 years. A couple of 8 years, folks. 10 years. And this person on the text line claiming to be a post worker says that you can send it back all you want to. It's going to come back to our distribution center.
And go right back out.
Right back to that address.
Even the junk? God. Let's go to Candace in Mission. Hi, Candace. Go ahead.
Hi. So I have a story I think you will enjoy. I have been at my place for 5 years, and about 3 years ago, and I've been getting email for this, not email, but been getting mail for this particular person all throughout, but about 3 years ago, I received two boxes from a shopping place that I tend to frequent. So when I got these boxes, I didn't even pay any attention. Yeah. I opened them up and I looked at these things and I'm like, when did I order this? Which is not that unusual for me, to be honest. So I go back to my app and I'm like, okay, I don't see what the heck. I don't know. And anyway, I ultimately realized that this is actually from this other person whose regular mail I've been getting. So I can't remember exactly how I found a related address. I take these two boxes. I drive 25 miles way past Western Shawnee.
Right.
To get to this address to deliver these boxes to this person and say, look, you know, can you change your mailing address? And I get up there and it's a model home for a development. And I knock on the door. I'm like, well, maybe she's an agent or something. I'm knocking on the door.
Right.
Nothing. I can tell there's nobody in this house. And I'm just like, what the heck else do I do? So I finally am like, there's nothing more for me to do. And every now and then I get free gifts in the mail.
That is so weird, but better than what my old neighbor got in the mail, Candace, which was a box that you poop in.
You know, sometimes you gotta go.
That I did not order.
By the way,
go ahead, Sam.
From the text line, according to this texter, you can opt out of junk mail by calling a hotline number.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
As
been
if
there,
that's actually going to work.
Done that.
But it's 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. It appears
okay.
to be legit.
Let's go to Annie in Kansas City. Hey, Annie. Or Ann. Am I saying that wrong? Hello, Ann.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, it's not your box, but I've been living at my address for 2 years. And about 6 months ago, I received a premium for my car insurance saying that a person has been added to my insurance and doubled my rates. Call them. It's like, oh, well, we showed somebody living there. It's like, that might be a previous tenant, but not here. I had to go and get a letter notarized and everything else for them to take that person off of my insurance.
Did the ne'er-do-well add themselves to your insurance policy?
No. They said they had ran a report and showed that person living at my address.
Oh, no.
It was a nightmare. I mean, I had to spend so much time getting that letter notarized and everything that this person was not on in my address, was not an authorized driver
okay,
on my car insurance.
I wonder, and you bring up an entirely separate topic, but I'm curious. If insurance companies are able to just add somebody as a registered driver, this would be happening to people who live in condos and apartment complexes every day.
They might transpose one number on the address.
Well, but Sam, not even that. Let's say, like, I live in 23C or whatever.
Yeah.
There's five other people that are listed having been lived at 23C.
Right.
Multiply that by every single apartment in America.
I don't know.
I mean, would they not at least call and say, hey, are you related to this person? No. Does this person live there? No.
They just add it automatically.
Are they driving your car? No. I live in an apartment.
Your burden to get them off. 7254 on the text line. My dad died 20 years ago when I was 11 years old. I moved into my apartment 6 years ago. I get mail for him all the time. How does that even make sense?
I don't know. After all that time, let's go to Jim in Raymore.
Hey,
hi.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, go ahead.
So one thing you may not think about, which I didn't know, we moved to Kansas City area about 10 years ago. I always lived in Jackson County. We moved to Cass County, Raymore,
yeah,
a year ago. We changed our driver's license. We went to City Hall to get the utilities set up. We got voter registration. Well, I went to register my car at the DMV the other day, get new license plates, and they said, I asked them, you know, does Cass County know we're here, or is it still under Jackson? She gave me a phone number to call for Raymore, for Cass County.
Okay.
I called Cass County, and the guy answered. He said, well, no, we don't have a record of you here. None of those computers talk to each other. And so Cass County did not know I was a resident, even though every place else did. And then I said, you have to also contact Jackson County to take them off the Jackson County rolls. You have to do that because, again, the computers don't talk to each other.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. If you move county to county, that's an entire layer that I didn't even think about.
Yes. Right, right. It's totally different if you move county to county, because the county itself doesn't know, even though the city knows and the address and the voter registration, everything else. The county of Cass County did not know, and Jackson County still thinks I'm a resident there.
Huh. Jim, I'm sorry to hear it, but I'm not surprised. We have cities that don't talk to each other. We have people within the boundaries of the same city that don't talk to each other. I am not surprised the counties don't communicate. Barb in Odessa. How you doing, Barb?
Hi, honey. Listen, when I moved recently after surgery and everything, it took me 2 months to get things straightened out. But what they failed to tell me, one post office don't give you the correct information. You have to take an ID up to the postman, whoever, and they scan it so that your change of address is processed.
Hmm.
And I didn't know anything about that because I kept getting my mail sent back, and I found out why, because one person don't know what the other one's doing.
You physically went into the post office, Barb?
Yep. I had to do that. And she said, and I went back because I said, I want you to make sure. So I did it again. Just to cover, you know, my seat, so I'd make sure I get it done, you know.
And are you getting the correct mail to the correct address now?
Now I am.
Now, okay.
Since 23, now it's 25. Finally this year I got straightened out.
Oh, my goodness, Barb. Hey, good to hear from you, as always. I'm glad you got it figured out. I feel bad for the new owners of my old home, because I feel like, I'm sorry this is still happening.
Like it's some kind of burden on them.
But yeah,
if it's happening
sort of
to everybody, then it's not like you are a standout. Also from the text line, another deceased father. This person got mail for their dad who passed away years ago. It was a summons for jury duty.
Oh.
He will not be showing up, they say.
That goes back to the counties not talking to one another,
yeah,
is my guess. Linda, wrap us up in North Kansas City. Hi, Linda.
Hi. My grandson works for the post office, and he told me, because I kept getting everybody's mail, he said, if you get somebody else's mail, even the packages or whatever, put ANK on there, and it means addressee not known, address with an E on it, and they can do something in their computer where you don't get everybody else's mail anymore.
Okay. Maybe I'll reach back out and say, so sorry about the ColaGuard box, put ANK on everything else.
See, the UPS tried to do that to me, and I said, no, 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 and I hung up on it. They did it again. I said, no, 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 and I hung up, and they haven't bothered me anymore. I'm not getting nothing from nobody that I don't think that I ordered. And my doctor, I have to get colonoscopy. I don't get off by doing that thing, and I wasn't going to do it anyway.
Linda, you tell them. You tell them, Linda.
By the way, watch out for this. According to the text line, and we cannot confirm this because we've already named the company multiple times, but according to the text line, they will send it to you automatically, and bill your insurance, assuming that you ordered it because you did it 5 years ago.
So this, I've just heard back, by the way, in real time.
Okay.
Your insurer of record has ordered it for you because their records indicate you are due for a screening.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. This is an insurance nightmare. I've already set up my actual screening with a surgeon who goes, you know, does what they do.
Are they now going to deny you coverage on your actual screening, which I'm sure is far more expensive than the taking care of business in a box?
You know that it is. Yeah. Oh, gosh. 913-58. I hate insurance. 586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Okay, so the more you know, I cannot believe we're all talking about this, but we are. But this is important for you to understand. Those kits have to be ordered by a medical provider.
We're and talking about Cologuard.
Yes, yeah. This is crazy. My health insurance, our health insurance, Sam, they know when you last had that test.
Right.
3 years ago. They automatically just assume, well, it's been 3 years. It's time for you to test again. They didn't contact me. They didn't, you know, nothing. We're just going to send it out.
Didn't want to go in for the full procedure the first time.
I told you we're going to do this again.
I
had a mammogram today. It's not like someone shows up on your door from the insurance company and go, hey, it's been 13 months. Yeah. It's time to go get your mammogram. But with this, for some reason, they do. It's automatic. They just send the box to your door. So I reach out. I'm like, hey, I didn't order this. They replied, yes, your insurance company did. And I said, well, I'm getting ready to go in and do the actual procedure. I don't want to have that claim denied. They said no money is exchanged. No claim is made until you send the box back with the sample and it goes to the lab. So they said, just toss it. And I feel a little bit guilty about that, but I'm going to do it. Mm. They said, just toss it. Okay.
You're not adding a whole lot to the plastic of the world.
Well, my goodness.
Yeah.
And please change my dress. So speaking of insurance, one more thing I have to deal with. You know a few things because we've seen a few things. What is that, State Farm? An arrest has been made. This is a local story. After a driver had their car stolen in Blue Springs. It's not funny, but it's funny.
Oh, no, it's hilarious.
While they were being pulled over by a Blue Springs police officer.
A carjacking during a traffic stop.
Was it?
Cannot make it
up. Or was it more theft of Miss Lane property?
I mean, it's considered a carjacking, I do believe. Definitely theft of a motor vehicle.
So, kids, this is why you don't do drugs.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
A Raytown woman is behind bars after she stole a car from the parking lot of a Quick Trip as police were pulling over the owner of that car. So my guess is, you know, the owner of the car is driving. Right. There's a taillight out. Broop, they see the police officers lighting them up. Time to pull over.
They probably on a busy road.
They're on a busy road.
The QT parking lot.
So just give me a second. Yeah. Instead of pulling over on the shoulder of a busy road, I'm just going to pull into Quick Trip. So the driver pulls into Quick Trip. The officer apparently says, hey, you got a taillight that's not working. And the driver's like, I didn't know that.
And the officer says, I'd love to show you. Hop out of the car. Come back here with me. I'll show you
which
one it is.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Come on out of the car. I'm going to show you the taillight. The driver's like, okay. Driver gets out of the car.
Shuts the door behind him.
Shuts the door. And then when does she...
That's when she locks the door because, you know, that there's those locking buttons on both sides. She's in the passenger seat. She allegedly then locked the door, hopped into the driver's seat, throws it in drive, and speeds off.
Okay, so help me here. As he gets out of the car because he's been pulled over, she slides into the passenger seat. It's all one fluid thing. He gets out, she slides in?
No, it was probably a couple of minutes. He was probably back there looking at the taillight, but he had closed the door. That's the important part. So she locks the door. So now they can't get into the vehicle. She is locked into the vehicle. It's still running. She then climbs over the console.
With a police cruiser behind the car, she steals the car.
She then hops over into the driver's seat, throws it in drive, takes off. The police officers chase.
Now I know what you're going to say. You have the owner of the car.
Just standing in the QT parking lot like.
With no car.
What?
Where did my car just go? And now the officers are in pursuit of this ding-a-ling woman who stole the car.
She reaches speeds of 70 miles an hour. They cancel the chase. The next morning, officers who are now have, I believe, issued a warrant for her arrest. Of course, she's been arrested since then. And they call him the next morning and say, hey, has your car come back yet? He, of course, says no.
No!
And this was, by the way, back on like March 18th. And yesterday they caught up to her, arrested her,
so,
and she has been released on bond.
Where has, first of all, why would we release her on bond? And second of all, where has his car been for 2 weeks?
No idea. No idea. But yeah, this lady saw an opportunity and decided, I don't know what their relation was, the driver, the male driver versus her in the passenger seat. I don't know if it was boyfriend, girlfriend, or if they were just friends driving around doing whatever friends do.
Okay, now this is making more sense.
It didn't specify a relationship. It didn't even name the male now victim.
But
initially, he was a suspect.
But you're saying we believe they knew one another.
They were both in the same vehicle.
Okay, the Channel 5 story does not make that clear.
When they were pulled over, she was in the passenger seat. He gets out to go look at the taillight with the cop, shuts the door, and she's like, well, I'm out of here. Locks the door, hops in the driver's seat, and takes off.
If convicted, she faces up to 11 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. You're never going to see that. She has a bond hearing tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I don't even know what to say about this.
We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
I have to know what their relationship was. I thought the way the Channel 5 story makes it read, he gets out of the car because the officer says, come back here, I'll show you. He gets out of the car and then she comes from outside of Quick Trip or wherever and just hops in and drives.
That's what
away.
I thought initially, but the Channel 9 story specifically said, was in the passenger seat, climbs into the driver's seat and takes off.
I can't believe they gave her bond. Anyway,
she gone. Well, now she's been found, but she was gone. And I don't know. I hope to God that they took the driver with them as they pursued.
I doubt it.
But I doubt it. I think that he was just left standing in the QT parking lot like, what in the world just happened?
Okay, so here is my other question. If this were me, if this were me, if this were me, but I did not have someone who had these types of issues in my passenger seat. If a police officer says to you during a stop, you have a brake light out.
You want to know which one?
Okay, I don't know that I would ask. I would just assume I didn't know, okay. This is what I'm asking. If the officer then says, step out, come back here, I'll show you. Is there a reason they're asking you to step out of the car? Like, I hate to always look for the negative in everything. Negative as a driver.
It would certainly make me nervous if an officer looked at me and said, why don't you step out of the car for whatever reason?
No way. I would be like 10 and 2 because.
But I can totally see myself looking at the officer and saying, really? I looked at him recently. Which one's out? And him saying, well, let's go look. And I would have been like, all right, let's go.
I would be.
Because I've been pulled over twice for speeding, and both times I got out and went and looked at the radar.
Did you see? I would be uncomfortable getting out of the car.
Oh,
let's say I don't have anyone with me in the passenger side of the car. Okay, let's just say I don't. I'm driving alone. I get pulled over. It's a brake light or a tail light. You know, I'm pulling into the Quick Trip, just some parking lot.
Yeah.
But let's make it a busy business like a Quick Trip or a Walmart or CVS or something. He says, get out of the car. For that exact reason, I wouldn't want to leave my car running.
Now, what if it's a trusted person?
She clearly was not.
Well, not anymore.
If they knew each other, which I don't know. I got to read the Channel 9 story as well as the Channel 5 story. If they tell you to get out of your car to show you something on your car, do you have to do that? I would not want to do that.
You don't have to, no.
Okay.
But I think it's, you know, maybe he didn't want the ticket for the broken tail light. Maybe he wasn't even going to get a ticket. The officer sounds like he was a wonderfully nice officer. Based on the details of the story.
Can you just stay right here, sir? I'm going to go chase the woman who just stole your car. I'm not trying to be like some conspiracy theorist, but I would feel safer staying in the car. No matter where I am pulled over, I feel safer staying in the car. And I'm the person that if you try to pull me over on the highway, I am taking the first exit off the highway.
I will say that when I went back to look at the radar, I can't remember specifically because it was really early in the morning, but I'm pretty sure I turned my truck off.
I took
the keys with me.
I know
as if
you
somebody was
going
to run out of the bushes and steal my truck.
I know that a lot of people will say you have to verify If a police officer told me I have a brake light out, I'm going to believe the police officer. I don't need to step out of the car and come see it. I'm not leaving my car. For safety reasons, I'm not leaving my car. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. We have a guest coming into the studio here in just a bit with a really, really fascinating backstory. She's a trauma specialist who helps people overcome all of the voices in their head. Specifically, I'm hoping on a Monday because I've got a lot rattling around up there today.
Whoa.
We talk about addiction a lot on this program. She actually ended up with addiction issues years ago. Because of those voices in her head. She is now clean, graduated from Duke, got her master's degree from KU. She is a licensed neuropsychotherapist, and I cannot wait to speak with her. We will take your questions on the text line. She's very easy to understand. Like, we'll cut through all of the jargon so that we can help you be a better you.
Yeah, coming up at 3 o'clock.
In 2025, that is coming up at 3 o'clock. I'm super excited for that. I also have a run, do not walk for all of you tonight. And there's only three episodes. We devoured it last night in three episodes. My mom actually reached out to me. I don't know if you can pull a little bit of the trailer, Sam, or not. Yeah. My mom reached out to me and said, like a month ago, she's like, what are you doing? You got to watch this on Netflix. It's called Greed and Gold, or Gold and Greed. Remember the old kind of loony guy? He's since passed. He lived until age 90, who hid millions of dollars worth of gold and fine rubies and other stones and jewelry, millions of dollars worth of this stuff. He hid it in this ornate kind of gold box, buried it, and then released this little book with a poem inside of it.
Yeah.
And the clues to where to find this treasure were supposed to be, like, cryptically hidden within this poem.
Right.
So you kind of remember the story. I remember when he died, and I remember there was this big controversy over whether or not the box of jewels had been found.
It was a big deal during the pandemic because that was right around the time that all of this was coming back to light.
You guys, 300,000 people ended up looking for this, quote, treasure.
Five people died.
Yep. In, like, six different states.
Yeah.
It's not like we're telling you, you know, go down to Shawnee Mission Park and, like, go help me find my missing dog. Do you realize how gigantic the United States of America is if you are looking for something that is 5 inches by 10 inches by 5 inches? Like, it's impossible.
Well, even telling somebody to go to Shawnee Mission Park and dig something up that size would take forever.
So people gave up years of their lives looking for this treasure. They died. Some of them, it cost them their marriage. Years trying to find. And at the time, I think there was some skepticism. Does this thing even really exist out there? Like, is there really treasure buried? So it turns out there was. And I'm not going to give anything away. But these three episodes of this Golden Greed, or Greed and Gold, it hones in on a handful of people who just give up everything. Yeah. They drop everything to go see if they can find this thing somewhere in six states. They don't know where.
They don't even know if it's really there or not.
No, because we'll get into the clues that were in the poem in a little bit. They're so vague, Sam. This treasure could have been anywhere. You know, go to where the dirt meets the water and then head down. Well, that could be outside our studio.
Right. By the way, it's called Gold and Greed, The Hunt for Fenn's Treasure on Netflix.
I was at a friend's house. He told me a guy by the name of Forrest Fenn had some treasure worth, at the time, everybody was saying $1 to $5 million. I would love to be a millionaire one day. We're rednecks, but not stupid rednecks. Yeah.
What if we told you there was a treasure chest somewhere in the mountains north of Santa Fe?
Find the treasure chest and it's yours. It's life-changing money.
You have a map and you get to solve it and you get to find it.
Who wouldn't want to be Indiana Jones?
Forrest Fenn hides the treasure
more than 10 years ago.
And nobody's found it in all these years.
But in order to find it, you'll need to solve clues hidden in a poem.
People went nuts. People started posting their solutions to the puzzle.
Something to do with latitude and longitude.
We used the cipher to decrypt the poem.
We're coming, Mr. Finn. We're coming.
Yeehaw! We had it all lined up.
This treasure hunt became this massive phenomenon. Forrest became kind of a godlike figure in the treasure community. And that's a lot of power to have.
He lived in my head rent-free for 24 hours of the day.
It is so gripping. It is in parts funny. It is, I just kept saying, who are these people that have just dropped everything to go do this? With bears in the, you know.
And they are passionate.
There were
about
a lot
it.
Of people, Sam, who thought the treasure was buried in or around Yellowstone. And one of the things he said when he buried it was, you will not have to break the law to find it. Yet people broke the law.
Oh, yeah, trespassed. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Guns are drawn at one point. Somebody ends up in his house. Like, it is way more gripping than you think it will be. It's way more entertaining than you think it will be. But it's one of those that you walk away from and you're scratching your head. And, you know, maybe we'll ask our psychoanalysis person when she comes in. What is it about the thought?
The thrill of the hunt.
The thrill of the treasure hunt. Yeah. Where people just lose their minds. You know, go out into sub-freezing temperature, Sam, with a t-shirt and not proper shoes.
Right.
Hoping to find...
And a metal detector.
Again, do you know how big... Let's just talk about Yellowstone. Do you know how big Yellowstone is?
Huge. Yeah.
You know, and people were just going out randomly searching for this thing. One of the things I want to do, if you know anyone in the Kansas City area that over the last 15 years or so... went out to look for that thing, we really want to talk with them. We, you know, why did you do it? You know, where did you put yourself in danger to do it?
How far did you go?
How far did you go? Yeah. One of the people they interview, Sam, is an airline pilot. And so clearly he and his family can fly for free. They just start getting on planes and going to try because we think this one sentence in this poem might mean that it's in Wyoming.
I mean, why not?
It is the craziest documentary, and if you need a palate cleanser, this is it.
Now, there was controversy when the cryptic message came out right before Fenn's death about the treasure being found. You said this confirms that it was indeed...
I will tell you this. Don't Google it. It's more fun to watch it if you don't Google it. The treasure was found, but even that comes with controversy.
Okay.
The story really isn't even about that. It's about all of the people that just thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to blow all of my retirement money trying to find this thing. 913-586-7798. We need more hours than one to psychoanalyze that. But we have a great guest coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. It will be the bonus hour today right here on Dana and Parks. Scott is back tomorrow. We will see you on the other side of this break.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.